Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry and put that pools in your money and hold that money and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money from the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
All right. Running kind of slow today, at least to start. Today's title. Mass shootings as American as apple pie. Mass shootings, they are as American as apple pie. But that's what I think. What do you think? 619-768-2945. And, we have a morning routine here. We're going to cover Annie Malone. The entrepreneur Annie Malone tomorrow, Friday. We were supposed to cover her today, but we're going to cover her, Annie Malone, Friday. But today, because it's a trending thing, mass shooting. So there was one in Uvalde, Texas, yesterday or whatever. And then weeks only 7 days, man. So you got one in Uvalde, Texas, and you had the other one in Buffalo, New York. And the weekend's coming up. I hope nothing happens then. So since it's trending, if you guys want to talk about it, we'll talk about it. Mass shooting. Are they as American as apple pie? That's the question. We'll be right back.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And he messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin.
Because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And
but we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you're driving.
That is true.
Down a superhighway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build little shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done.
Hmm.
I, coming along, I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses. They could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them, and there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and beg, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They want to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show me your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
All right. Well, tomorrow. Now, today we were supposed to do Annie Malone. We're going to move her to tomorrow, Friday. So we'll have that on Annie Malone, and she's a very positive figure. And but today we're going to go with our trending topic, well, the trending topic that's buzzing around, because this week we've had so far, the week's not even out yet, two mass shootings, one in Buffalo, New York, and Uvalde, Texas, was yesterday, I believe. So here's my take, and I mentioned this yesterday, and that's why I have the title, Mass Shootings as American as Apple Pie Itself. But I want to throw in another rub to it. On the Blog Talk, on our Blog Talk Radio scrolling marquee, if you go to Blog Talk Radio on your phone, desktop, laptop, whatever you're using, tablet. Go to Blog Talk Radio and look for It's My House or Solar Landlord. Solar, S-O-L-A-R, Landlord. One word, Solar Landlord. And you'll find our link for today. The titles, the title for today is Mass Shootings as American as Apple Pie. I have two maps in the scrolling marquee. All right, two maps in the scrolling marquee. And on the, well, let me go to my phone so I can be accurate when I'm speaking to you guys. The one, and you can also look on our Facebook page, It's My House TV on Facebook. It's My House TV on Facebook. That's our Facebook page, or It's My House TV at Off Grid Housing University. All one. It's the same page on Facebook. Now, I have two maps on Blog Talk Radio. Now, in the scrolling marquee, I've got some pictures of apple pie. But the map that I want you to look at, it has a picture of the state of Texas. The state of Texas, and then it has a global map. It has a global map. And, you know, if you listen to different people's opinion about the shootings this week, you know, one person might say is they'll throw the race element into it, because that's what they're doing in Buffalo. The one in Uvalde, Texas, is probably mostly Latino, because they're not far from the Mexican border. But so depends on who you talk to. Some people will say it's racial. Some people think it's a spiritual thing and we got to pray on it more. Some people, you know, particularly since Naomi Judd committed suicide, you know, mental health, that term's being kicked around quite a bit lately. I'm looking at it differently, thus the map. Trying to bring it up on my phone. Okay, so one map, the map on the left is for the state of Texas. I mean, it's, you know, you see the silhouette, but the shape of the state of Texas. And you'll see, man, I'm trying to bring it up on my phone. I had to reconfigure my phone. Well, let me see if I can, no wonder I'm pressing the wrong thing. I don't want to delete nothing. Okay, here we go. All right, I got it. All right, so on the left-hand side, you got, you know, the state of Texas, and then on the right-hand side, you got a world map with the continents that are all there. You know, North and South America, Africa, the continent, European continent, Asia, and then Australia, which is part of Oceania. You know, we got places like New Zealand, Nauru, Garibaldi, you know, those places, Guam, all those places. So now let's look at the map, the Texas map on the left-hand side. If you take the world population as it is right now, this is LA's It's My House explanation, theory on why the primary reason why you've had these shootings. I'm not factoring race in it at all. It's really a matter of geography and a matter of population and law to a certain degree. So on the left-hand side, you see the state of Texas, and you can take the population of the entire continent of Africa, which is over 1 billion people, fit it into Texas, You can take China, the whole country, represents 2 billion people. And you see where you can fit it into Texas. India, another billion-plus, you know, population country, put into Texas. Part of that goes into north, west Texas. As a matter of fact, between China and India, I'll go back to that because I lived in Texas. I lived in West Texas for 4 years. That's where I went to school, college at. Latin America, there's South America and, you know, throw in Central America. They have their section. Europe, Oceania. Now, that includes Australia, New Zealand, Tasmania, places like, New Zealand, Tahiti, Tonga, Marshall Islands, New Guinea, Papua New Guinea, Nauru, places like that. Oh, that's all Oceania. Okay, and then you got the United States. Now, this you can fit the population of all that whole planet into the state of Texas and assign 2.3 acres for each person on the planet right now. That's over 2 football fields. The stat that I've given up, that's a whole lot of, that's just in Texas. All right, now, and with each person having 2.3 acres of land, you know, you still got enough room to, you know, do what you want to do peacefully, you know, no overcrowding. Another stat that I've repeated on here several times, I like to equate it to a chessboard. In the United States, 86% of the population occupies 5%, occupies only 5% of the available landmass. 86% of the population of the United States occupies only 5% of available landmass. 14%, which is rural folk, basically roam around the 95% of the landmass. That's a lot of land. 22% of the United States is wilderness. No man has set foot in it yet, as of May 26, 2022. There's a lot of land. There's a lot of empty space in the United States. Anybody who's going in on a plane ride in the United States, you know, once you take off from a metro area, you can go some time without even seeing any civilization on the land, depending on where you're flying to. Now, let's go back to this map, the Texas map, where India and China, okay, and Uvalde would fall under the part of the Africa portion of the map on the Texas map. Okay, now India and China part, a good portion of that is known as West Texas. I attended West Texas, well, when I went there, it was called West Texas State University. Now it's called West Texas A&M University. I know West Texas. Very diverse region. Up where I was at, it was flat. They had dust storms. Weather can change within 15 to 20 minutes. From extremes, it can go from nice, sunny, and mild to a snowstorm that also we had thunder and lightning during the snowstorm. My first Christmas down there, we had a tumbleweed Charlie Brown Christmas tree made from a tumbleweed. Dust storms, where you can close your windows tight, lock it, in some kind of way that dust would penetrate that window, and you have an accumulation of sand inside those windowsills after everything was over with. And that's the northern part. That's in the panhandle part. Then if you go south, looking at this map, and once again, before I even go for, it's just flat, man. You can see forever. There's a lot of land there. Lots of land. Matter of fact, I wish I knew then what I knew now, because I would have made Texas a permanent home. But in any event, if you go further south in West Texas, all right, to the China part, the extreme west, you got El Paso, which leads into Las Cruces. You got White Sands National Park, beautiful sand dunes and everything. But, man, that part of Texas, which is part of the United States, is barren. Now, you got some towns that pop up here and there, but you can drive for miles and miles and not see anything. I've got 10 acres of land in which on this map, which would be in the China portion of it, in West Texas. I picked up I paid $2,000 total, so that's $200 an acre. But actually, that's when you include the recording fees and all that. I actually bought it for $1,800. That was the purchase price for the land, and then the balance of that between $1,800 and $2,000, the recording fees and all that type of stuff. I own it free and clear. My taxes on that on 10 acres is $38.50. Now, that's what I paid 2 weeks ago, and I paid that late. All right, now, what do I have? I got desert and mountains. But it's not too far from the Mexican border. It's got extremely low taxes, and I can do things there. First thing, there's no code enforcement. I can do things there that I can't do in a Chicago, a Dallas, a Houston, a Seattle, Washington, a Miami. I can do things there because the population, in the county, well, I don't want to give away the county because I don't want you guys messing up my groove there. But I have a rule. I look for small counties. So if a county's got really more than like 15,000 to 16,000 people in a county, I don't mess with it. That's just me. So there are plenty of counties in the United States where there are populations of countywide 15,000, 16,000 people or less. All right. Anyway, so there's loads of land. Let's take it to another. I'm in Florida right now. Now, Florida has 67 counties. Once you get, and I'm a namer, and I'm not name all 67, but once you get outside of the heavy density populated areas, like once you get let's count this off, Broward and Dade County, that's where Fort Lauderdale is. Okay, that's in Broward County. That's connected to the south of Dade County. That's where Miami is. All right. And then, the county above Broward, Boca, that's in Palm Beach County. All right. Eliminate those three counties from, let's see. Let me get my arithmetic right here. Florida's got 67 counties. So let's eliminate those three. We got 64 counties left. All right. Eliminate Polk County where I'm at. Eliminate Orange County where Orlando is. Eliminate Pinellas and Hillsborough County where St. Pete and Tampa is. So let's eliminate, wait a minute. 64, let's eliminate four more. We're down to 60 counties. Eliminate where Tallahassee is and Jacksonville. That's two more counties. So you have to 58. So out of 67 counties let me get rid of where the county where Naples is. All right. So you're down to 57 counties. And did I say Jacksonville? You know what, just in case I didn't, let's take one more out of that. So that's 56 counties. All right, so, and I'm going to subtract six more counties. All right, so out of 67 counties, there's 50 counties in Florida that's rural, where you have more cows and horses than people. At least that's the way it looks optically. The real United States of America, by It's My House standards, where there's less government, there is some government, but there's dramatically less government, where you can build the kind of house you want to build, you can afford to build it, and some places you don't have to pull a building permit. George Washington didn't have to pull a building permit. Thomas Jefferson didn't either. Building permits, code enforcement, all these bureaucracies. Matter of fact, if you study of the history of wealth building in the United States, study the guys who signed that Declaration of Independence. A lot of the government agencies that we have today didn't exist back then. They weren't nickel and dime with the DMV. Of course, nobody had a motor vehicle back then. But, you know, they didn't have to. Code enforcement, housing court, bankruptcy court, all these different government agencies did not exist. Because basically all your government agencies, although they have different names, the common denominator with these government agencies is they're revenue collectors. They're revenue collectors. That's the common denominator with every last one of them. You know, you got payrolls to meet every week and all this other stuff. So you got all this. Anyway, getting back to the thing. So as I was originally pointing out the map because I got sidetracked, in my opinion, from an It's My House point of view, the shootings took place because you got too many people living in a really densely small populated areas. If you want to feel safer, in my opinion, roam among the 95% of this country where the 14% live in the rural areas of the United States. And in a lot of these places, you know, because a lot of people are addicted to the comfort and conveniences of the grid or urban living or the matrix, as some people would call. But there are a lot of little small towns in the United States that are a 15 to 20 minute drive to Walmart, Piggly Wiggly's, Albertsons, the movie theater, the bowling alley, McDonald's, Jobs, just 15 to 20 minute drive. There's scores of little towns around like that, a 15 to 20 minute drive away. Now let me throw that stat out. There are 19,500 municipalities in the United States, and only 10 of them have a population of 1 million or more. Now, Uvalde has a little bit over 15,000 people. To many of you, that's a small amount of people. I see it as densely populated because I know the United States and I know Texas. The 4 acres that I have here in Florida is in a location where the population is so low that the Census Bureau doesn't even know what it really might be. Taft, Oklahoma, the population of the town is 350 people. But let me tell you how that's calculated. They've got a men's prison in Taft, Oklahoma, and they have a women's prison in Taft, Oklahoma. They are legally allowed to count the inmate population into that 350 people. Taft might have a population of 100 or less people living in Taft. Primary source of revenue for the municipality of Taft, Oklahoma, is those two prisons. And an example of, and I call it cabin fever, when you have a whole lot, and it's not natural for a whole lot of people to be crammed. Nature doesn't work that way. All right. If you, here's an example. L.A.'s version of the Black Wall Street Massacre, 1921. Most people, when you hear that story, it's racialized. My version of it is O.W. Gurley, the black man who bought 40 acres, he bought 40 acres in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, the racial part of it is it was allegedly Klan country back during that period of time. I'm going to look at the too many people living in a small area. Black Wall Street was a neighborhood within the boundaries of the municipality of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And 40 acres isn't a whole lot of land. I mean, it's a lot of land if you own an individual, but in the scope of the city, it was, you know, let's say 40 blocks. Okay. Now, in this area, it was surrounded by, once again, was within the city limits of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And you had wealthy people of color living in there. And you saw the nice cars, and you saw the people with the nice clothes, and you saw the prosperous businesses. Everybody's happy and all this. Black Wall Street was like an oasis, the Greenwood neighborhood. That's what it's called. It was like an oasis. And it was surrounded by, well, to be honest, about the poor white folks. Now, at the exact same time that, you know, you had this going on, this little oasis, black oasis in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was densely populated. You got a whole bunch of people of color, wealthy people of color, in a 40-acre, what's the word I want to find? 40-acre rectangle. you know, condensed. That was it. They were condensed in that 40 acres. Now, at the same time, you had throughout the state of Oklahoma 50 black townships that never experienced any racial violence. Now, I've visited Taft, Tallahassee, Oklahoma, which is the oldest black town in Oklahoma, and Summit, Oklahoma. Those three places, if you don't, put it this way, if you're not with somebody that knows how to get to those places, you could, with Taft, Oklahoma, you can drive straight through Taft and never knew that you were actually in a town. How in the hell they found that way back when, with no paved roads and no infrastructure as we know it today, I don't know. Because in my opinion, there's not going to be no witch hunt. You're not going to find Taft, Oklahoma, unless you know exactly where it is. All right, Tallahassee, same thing. And Summit, Oklahoma, Jesus, man. If you're on foot, I've been to Summit twice, Oklahoma twice, and I'm just glad I was in the car to get there, because if you're without transportation, even if you're on a bike, and you start to, if you try to make your way to Summit, Oklahoma, when dust sets in, and you won't find it. You will not find it. Particularly when the sun goes down, you will not find it. But I barely knew. I mean, I'm sitting in the car twice during daylight. How in the hell did they even find this place? Okay. And I'm speaking from a 2022 infrastructure mindset, paved roads and all this other stuff. But in all these times, and some of it might have a population of maybe 100 or so people. So the everybody knows everybody in these towns. They're allowed to live free. That's why I call these places the real United States of America. And they're all switching out. The way things are, because Summit is it's all about, it's remote, but yet not remote, if that makes any sense. You know, because you can drive 15-20 minutes out of Summit, and you know you can get the Muskogee tribe. I mean, not Muskogee, Muskogee tribe. They got a casino there, and I checked that out a couple of times. I don't gamble or anything. I just wanted to. I had never been inside of a casino before, and this was run by Native Americans. So you know, you got all kind of Native Americans that run the color spectrum, and those are the ones who had the jobs. But the next time I go to, I ordered pancakes here. Man, they gave me two pancakes the size of almost a daggone platter. I can only eat half of one. I could have fed 3 to 4 people off of that thing. But anyway, I remember that next time I go. So, yeah, my whole thing with the shootings in Uvalde and Buffalo and most other places, and even the single shootings, particularly of black men, black folk move to the real United States. The real United States is not in Chicago. Oh, I know politically it is. But you need to go to some place like, you know, Pembroke, Illinois, Hopkins Park, Illinois. You need to go to some rural area where basically you can see people coming and everybody knows everybody. You have less government and you can do what you want to do. Is everybody going to do that? No. But as a person who grew up urban, me, Washington, D.C., that's why I call these little small places the real United States of America. What I mean by the real United States of America, it's got to have a population of no more. I'm a cap it at 2,500 people. You're going to, the entryway, the doorway into the real United States of America are towns that have a population of 2,500 people or less. The smaller the population, the better. If you want to really cut, if you want to take the microwave approach, only deal with towns that have a population of 1,000 people or less. If you want to super nuke it, deal with populations of 400 people or less. If you got any financial problems in a New York, a D.C., a L.A., Seattle, whatever, it can be solved. But matter of fact, you know what? Let me give you a prime example. It's matter of fact, too. Sam Walton, the late Sam Walton and his wife Alice, they started, Walmart. It didn't start off as Walmart. You know, they were five and dominant in Bentonville, Arkansas. Bentonville's a small town. It's not small, but to many of you might consider it small. It would probably have 30,000 or so people in it now, maybe 35,000. A lot of people consider that small. I don't. For some people, that's a subdivision. Other people, it might be a neighborhood. Depends on where you live at. But, he reached billionaire status. And there's less than 3,000 billionaires on the entire planet. You've got to go to areas where there's less people and less government regulation. And then if you want to scale your business or whatever, then, you know, keep on hitting singles to these little small towns. Don't try to go off and try to make it big in Chicago, New York, L.A., St. Louis, all those places. They're too big, too many people, too many politics. If you're not interested in the business angle of it, you know, men, regardless of color, all right, If you want to live a sustainable household and go to the small towns. Now, you might have to pick up some skill sets along the way. You know, it might be good to learn how to build your own house. But you know what? The Amish, per capita, and let's throw in some Mennonite Sioux, are wealthier than black folk and probably Latinos in this country. The majority, if not all, of the Amish communities and Mennonite communities in the United States, or anywhere for that matter, are in rural areas. They live and do business. Sometimes they'll come to the fringes and open up a farmer's market to the people, you know, on the grid or the makers, whatever you want to call it. But they primarily rock and roll in the 95% of the landscape occupied by 14% of the population. And you can't argue with our Amish or Mennonite economics. No, you don't have to dress like them. No, you don't have to get into their religion. You don't have to take on their total lifestyle. But let's look at it. How many arguments happened last night over the car note? The car note. That argument ain't happening in an Amish household or a Mennonite household, or at least an Amish household, because they don't have car notes. They do not allow the banks to get into their pocket that way, nor the government. And in some of those arguments last night, or early this morning, where, you know, the husband and wife, and then it got out of hand, and then police was called, and somebody's sitting in jail right now, the county jail or the city jail right now, because of an argument over the car note. How many people are sitting in jail right now because of the rent or the mortgage payment? Another domestic happened because of that, and they're sitting in county jail or city jail right now. That ain't happening in the Amish household. I'm sure they have their squabbles like everybody else, but the car note, the rent, and the mortgage payment is not there. I very seriously doubt if you would see an Amish or Mennonite person at the social services office. I'm not knocking the social services office at all. But in Amish and Mennonite country, which is in the real United States of America, they practice what I call real Social Security. They got a lot of social capital between relatives and friends. They don't need Bank of America. They don't need Wells Fargo for a mortgage. They don't need FHA. They don't need VA. They don't need none of it. Because when they want to build a house, they get together and they build it. That's the best type of financing there is, social capital. Now, the Jehovah's Witness, I just recently found out, their place of worship was called Kingdom Halls. And I just recently read of one of them. They built a 4,000-square-foot Kingdom Hall in a day. Now, they had to pull permits. They had to pass inspection. And they pulled the permits, and they passed inspection, and everything was done legally by the book where they were. But they had, I believe 400 hands to help build that place, that 4,000-square-foot structure, in a day. From as young as 7 or 8 years old to 75 or 80 years old. That's why I play that piece at least once a week, if not 2 or 3 times a week. Many hands make light work. That's an ancient financial principle that many hands make light work built the pyramids. Many hands make light work is what the Jehovah's Witnesses do when it comes to them building their kingdom halls. Many hands make light work when it comes to the Amish community's financial literacy, and as well as the Mennonite community. They don't try to do it in Los Angeles or San Diego. We're talking about the United States. So there are plenty of places in the United States. And it's rare when you hear, a few years ago there was somebody outside the Amish community shot up something. They had to go to the Amish community, but that was somebody outside of the community. When was the last time you heard of a black person getting shot by the police in Nome, Alaska, Bangor, Maine, Taft, Oklahoma? Once again, there are 19,500 of these around the United States. All these murders basically happen, or shootings happening, essentially almost the same areas generally. But they're densely populated areas for the most part. Uvalde, Texas was one of the smaller areas, but once again, 15,000 people is densely. Matter of fact, if you can imagine a place like the Los Angeles Forum or someplace like that. That might not seem like a whole lot of people because L.A.'s got like over 8 million people. But 15,000 people, I mean, look, there are towns in this country that have less than 50 people. There are a lot of towns in this country that have just 20 people, a town, with an economy. So that's my whole thing on it. It you know, no race. Well, you know, if some people might paint it race. I'm not painted that way. Of course, now from what I understand about the Buffalo case, the guy, the 18-year-old guy, I forgot his name already, Grand Drone or something like that. I believe he said the law enforcement, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, it was racial. But for the people that are afraid, or if you live in Buffalo or Uvalde or whatever, in New York State, there's plenty of farmland in rural areas in New York State. Let me tell you the place to stay away from in New York if you want to live and have a peace of mind. Avoid, now once again, New York State's got a lot of towns. Avoid New York City and its metro area. Avoid Albany, New York, that's two. Avoid Buffalo, Rochester, and Niagara Falls. Six primary areas. New York City metro area, avoid that. Albany, New York, state capital, avoid that. Rochester, New York, Buffalo, New York, and Niagara Falls, New York, they're like on the same highway. And let me think. I can't think of anything else. Avoid those primary areas. And New York State is rural. I don't know because I've been up there plenty of times. In Texas, look for small counties. And Texas has got like over 200 counties. Matter of fact, hold on, let me look this up right now. How many counties does Texas have exactly? Number of counties. And you can apply these common denominators basically anywhere you go. There's some regions of the country, like the 95 corridor from Richmond, Virginia, on up to Boston. That region, the corridor of the country, I don't recommend living in that. You can work there and live there, but, number of counties in Texas. Let's see. Okay. Texas has 254 counties. I'm going to tell you where to avoid. Avoid the counties connected to Houston. Houston, I don't know if it all is, but Houston, that's Harris County. It might bleed into other counties, but don't avoid Harris. And that's where Warren Houston's from now. Avoid Harris and any county connected to Harris. All right? So that's one reason. The Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, avoid anything that's connected to the cities, counties connected to Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas. Austin, avoid that area. San Antonio, El Paso, Lubbock in the Panhandle, Amarillo in the Panhandle. So that's seven, or you got 254 minus seven. All right, so that leaves you with 247 counties left. And then, let me see. Let me go to Uvalde. What county is that in? Uvalde, Texas. Nothing's 100%. Anything can go haywire. You can be on the South Pole and something can go left. I'm into statistics, so I'm telling you where I think, you know, it where you have the least amount of headache. All right, Uvalde is in Texas, is in Uvalde County. Uvalde County has a population of 24,564 people. Now, that's not really a big county, but in Uvalde County, I would be in a place like, this is Knipa, Texas, K-N-I-P-P-A, Knipa, Texas. If I were to be in Uvalde, Texas, I would probably try to rock and roll somewhere around Knipa because they've got a population of 689 people. So Uvalde's in a small county, but it was the big 15,000 people once again, that's densely populated. You know, get outside of the major population areas. But in any event, that's my theory. Most people won't do it because most people are addicted to the comfort and conveniences of, well, let's face it. Matter of fact, Uvalde, let me look at Uvalde real quick. You're right, Uvalde. Knipe, which is in Uvalde County, has a population of 689 people. Now, if we go to, Uvalde, which is the largest city in Uvalde County, Uvalde has a population, and I have to correct myself, I said 15,000. Uvalde has a population of 24,564 people. That's too many people. Too many people. Now, for some of you that grew up in New York or Miami or Seattle, Washington, King County, Washington, you know, Los Angeles County, California, which has got, God knows, millions of people, you know, you might say it's, and to you, because it's all relative. But 24,000 people living in one spot is too many people. But you never hear nothing about it that happens in Knipe, Texas. Same county. But over 20,000 less people live in that place. Everybody practically knows everybody in Knipe County. Knipe, Texas. What's the poem by Robert Frost? I think it was Robert Frost. The way I rock and roll is go to the road less traveled. That's where you'll find the real United States of America, and places where there's a lot less people, a lot less opportunity, and a lot less drama, including racism. 407 area code, your mic is open.
Good morning, L.A. This is Fiata in Orlando, Florida, and host of Health and Well-Being with Fiata tomorrow morning at 8 on the Female Solution blog talk show. And I was just listening to Dr. Mumbai in Kenya. If you want a different perspective on all these things that are happening, go to Dr. Mumbai in Kenya. She's very spiritual and very high-minded and very perceptive about the deeper meaning of things. And she says, there are no accidents. And I totally agree with her. There are no accidents. If we look at what has happened in the last 2 years with this twilight zone of COVID and viruses, we all should be awake by now that there are no accidents. There's hundreds of people gathered in an international court right now bringing charges against Bill Gates, Fauci, and many others on crimes against humanity. They have gathered enough evidence to show that what happened the last 2 years were crimes perpetrated by people like Fauci, Gates, and others. So we ought to be at an awakened state by now to realize things like what happened in Buffalo and Texas are no accidents. These motherfuckers, that's what they are, these elite who are so evil, drinking blood for energy and all the other things they do, are so evil and wicked. For instance, the security guard, it turns out Dr. Mumbai revealed, the security guard who was killed in Buffalo, Aaron Salter Jr. was his name, had took out a patent on a newly discovered water-powered engine that would help cars run on water. Now, do you think that's a threat to anybody in this country, in this world? Let's just think about that. Would he be a threat to anybody? You know, we come up with these inventions and people get patents and then they disappear for some strange reason. So it's just if you go into the rabbit hole or if you just do some investigation, look at the names of the people who were killed, so-called killed, even in Texas. Oh, it's a lot of questions. Where is the bodies? Where are all the bodies? What's really going on there? Ah, there's something nefarious going on. So we got to stop being so childlike about these events that happen and going into panic. Another thing, when the major media, this is ought to be a clue for everybody, when the major media is playing a story 24/7 on their network, there's something going on deeper. They're stirring up fear and anxiety. That's what the major news. That's why Trump called them fake news, because they're all about, say, an agenda. They're stirring up. I can't go to any news network or even on YouTube where they're not talking about this, stirring up fear. How long do we need to be informed about an event in Texas and Buffalo or whatever? So we ought to have our little antennas up to say something's going on. That is not, these are not accidents. They call them false flags, but some people call these are conspiracy theories. Well, the major news hides all of that for a reason, and you have to figure out the reason. One of the reasons, gun control. Right away, we always hear, oh, we got to have more gun control when one crazy person does something like this. We ought to be waking up now to know how this system is so corrupt. They'll do anything to put forth their agenda of control and warmongering and all that they're doing right now. I have hope. A lot of people are waking up and realizing the corruption in our government and in our systems, that we're eventually going to eliminate all this corruption by our consciousness as we wake up and share the light of truth and stop buying into the media's fear-mongering, then maybe we'll see a change. But all the people sitting in front of CNN, oh, my goodness, this is horrible. Oh, my goodness, we got to get the guns out of people's hands. We got to get the guns. No, it's not the guns. It's the system that keeps promoting this corruption. So, anyway, that's my comment.
Well, the system that you're talking about, it's basically, I mean, if you look at the map of the United States, like I say, 86% of the population of the United States really doesn't occupy much of the land mass. So
true.
Once you can step out of that system relatively easy. Now, granted, you're going to have to, if you can give up your addictions to comfort and convenience, and then you'll probably, well, for instance, in the last month or so, you spent, about a couple of weekends off the grid in a rural part of Florida.
Right.
Could you share that with us? Because you had access to plenty of food, but is the average American prepared to get the food the way you saw it?
Well, even the idea that compost toilets were used, it turns people off. You know, that's a simple way of living, and people want their conveniences to flush water, tons of water down the toilet for a pee. So, yeah, it's a hard deal to sell, to go out in the country and look at and talk to cows, look at cows, feed cows, and then go to this farm that's like 5 minutes away, that 24 acres of produce everywhere growing on trees, mulberries picking off the tree. You could have a whole meal just walking on these people's land, pulling mulberries off the trees, oranges, there's collard greens everywhere, just food
all right,
everywhere.
Oh, let me ask you something. So, all right, 24 acres of land, it had all that food we're talking about, cows and all this other stuff. How many, now how long did it take, how long would, to get to civilization, how far was it from that 24 acres to a Walmart or I-1 or whatever, I-4 or whatever?
The closest place would be like Leesburg. Leesburg's not that far away. So you could probably find a Walmart at Leesburg, let's just say that, or Lowe's. So you're talking half an hour away.
All right. Now, in my opinion, a half hour is no big deal. But
right,
some people...
Right.
For some people, they don't even want to go the half mile. I mean, no. 30 minutes is typically about 29, 30 miles. Depends on
right.
the trick out for you. So a lot of
right.
people, a lot of people that are struggling, let's say in Orange, Orlando, okay?
Yeah.
If they would
yeah.
just drive 30 minutes, they would, where you were was what I call the real United States of America. Because
right.
although the cost of living is less expensive, you do have to have some skills, or at least learn them, on, you know,
right.
how to grow food and all the stuff that goes along with that. Which I don't think most people are going to do. But, you know, that's okay.
Right. So by choice, like you say, people are living in environments that could easily become a mass shooting environment, because
right.
we don't know these evil planners are doing these days, other than trying to control everybody. So yeah, the more congested, crowded the city or the area, the more likelihood that something could happen. Even if people on meth, even when I was staying in my tiny house in Umatilla for 5 years, there were people around that area who were on meth, on the drug, meth.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a rural enough community that there was space in between these crazies, you know, or these drug addicts, so that even somebody who was living on the property was on meth, but the guy who owned the property had enough sense to get rid of them eventually. Once the turmoil and the disruption started occurring, he's like, okay, you're out of here. So managing even 11 acres of land has to be managed more like people than anything. You have trees and all that you got to manage, but people come on that land, and sometimes they act crazy, and you got to get rid of them. So, but at least in that rural area, you don't have the likelihood of something like this mass shooting showing up, because it's been planned. There's no accidents, people. That's the word. Dr. Mumbai makes it clear every show.
Well, that place where you're talking about, where you had your tiny house, you're not going to walk across that place.
Right.
You have
you
to know where that place
it?
Was. Cause you, no, I mean,
right.
you got to take some road there.
Yes.
Then you got to turn
right.
off the road and follow this path. You have to know where you, but if you're just walking that, it was not a place. I think the security of that place was the fact that you would have to know specifically how to get to that place.
Right, right. And even the
and
people.
And it was only, how many households were there?
About five. Five or
right, so five households on 11 acres.
Three, four, maybe more than that at one time. Because he has
okay.
A lot of trailers set up for people to rent. This guy
right.
has trailers. And then he has a big house on the other side of the lake. So up to maybe five or more people at one time, then people leave and come and go. But he was
right,
so frustrated.
Well, yeah, I guess he was. That's another story.
About people coming and going on that place because they cause trouble. The more people, the more trouble, likelihood you're going to have trouble and challenges and confusion, conflict. So that's why it's nice to be out in the boonies all by yourself.
Right. But that place wasn't too far from what I recall because once you found your way to the main road, basically within a matter of minutes, everything you needed was right, within a short distance.
Yeah. And
now,
you have more opportunity, let me just say this, in places like that to detox and go to a lake and a spring. You remember that all the springs that are there, there's all close by, not only is there some Walmarts not far away, but close by you can go detox in nature with springs and trees and birds and all that. If you don't have access to a place of calm and peace, then your stress level is going to go up, which is a major cause of disease.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. You grew up in Chicago, major city, where it's the third largest city in the United States. You lived in California, and what was it, Silicon Valley or right somewhere near there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, back in my backyard.
Okay. And then you moved to, this when you were married, in Orlando, and you had the so many square foot house with a swimming pool, right? Indoor pool?
Right, yes.
All right. Now, you've had all the on-the-grid stuff, and then you downsized to a tiny house. About 160 square feet?
Right.
And now you're in one where, I guess if you haven't renovated, you're almost finished renovating it, which is about, 320 square feet?
360. I doubled. Wait a minute. Yeah, 320. I doubled my size.
Okay. So my question is now, you've been on the grid. You've lived in houses that some people dream to live in, particularly with that swimming pool and everything, indoor pool. So what's your recommendation for, let's say, maybe a baby boomer who's retired or a person or a couple starting out? And they can't, because the live, like Pleasant Stephan said something, and I agree with him. He said to basically live in a city comparable to the size of a Chicago, or it can be a St. Louis or L.A. or Orlando. You essentially have to be wealthy, not rich, but wealthy, because you got high property taxes, and you just the more comfort and conveniences you have, the more you're going to get nickel and dime. So what do you suggest? Because you've been on the top end, and now you're living simply, and you've doubled your living space, and now you're in Orlando again, I guess. But you're living in a smaller house, though. What do you recommend people do?
First of all, get healthy. Because there's too many sick people who have to spend their energy and time going to doctors or trying to figure out how to get well, because you can't do anything if you're sick. So that would be, and me being a health coach, of course, and me, my dad was an athlete, so I am a unique person in my right because I had a father who was a professional athlete, and he taught athletics and so my upbringing was focused on being healthy and taking good care of your body. So, and at my age, 67, that's so important now for me to minimize my eating and my stress if I'm going to stay out of assisted living homes or nursing homes, which I'm definitely targeting not to do that, go to any nursing homes or assisted living. So you have to, number one, get healthy. And that's a mind, body, spirit effort to balance your mind, body, spirit with peace. You know, whatever you're doing, if you're stressed out at your job, you're taking Tylenol every day, and you got to go to the doctor because you got aches and pains you can't cure. You need to shift your lifestyle and figure out, what do I need to do to find peace and health? So that would be number one. So once you get your body balanced, you're in health, then look at your environment. Are you paying too much for rent that you got to work 90 hours a week to pay the rent and all the bills? That's going to create more stress. So I would look at your lifestyle and your environment and say, do you need to change your environment? And then start looking at land. If you really want to try tiny house living, you got to look at land first. That's number one. Where is the land that will allow me to build or put a tiny house? Or where is the location that's going to bring me the most peace and help me maintain my health? So that's like maybe the top three.
Okay. Do you think, hold on. Hey, Brad, let me call you back in about an hour, okay?
Hey, that'd be fine.
All right, bye. I didn't mean to answer their call. I hit the wrong button. That's one of my college buttons. All right, let's put this in the context of these shootings. So, and that friend of mine, I went to Texas. We were college buddies in Texas, and he does occasional substitute teaching in Texas, and his wife is a basketball coach and a teacher in the state of Texas, I think on a middle school or high school level, and I think their daughter. So I'm going to see if I'm trying to organize a panel. I don't know if I get them for tomorrow, but hopefully next week, where we can get the teacher's perspective in the classroom, even get Warren Houston on it. So now, let's see. The question I wanted to ask you is, do you think if you had a young family, because your family is grown, well, your sons are grown, and now you have grandchildren, but you only have so much power over them. So in light of the shootings and over the recent years, from Columbine to Sandy Hook up in Connecticut to the kid earlier this year up in Michigan, or was it late last year, early this year, the kid up in Michigan where his parents even got arrested because they were charged, although they didn't pull the trigger, and they weren't around when the kid, their child, shot somebody. And with the shooting in Buffalo and the school shooting in Texas, if you were raising youngins today that you birthed, because I know you're still raising youngins, what would you do, homeschool or what? Homeschool, private school, brick and mortar, or public school?
If my partner is in agreement, I would be wanting to homeschool, because the public schools are indoctrinating and teaching kids to comply with authority that may not be in line with the Creator's wisdom and understanding. So I would be homeschooling. But I wanted to do that even when my kids were small, but my husband didn't agree with it. So that's where, when there's a conflict like that in the family, you have to go along usually with what.
Well, now let me ask you this. Do you think back when you guys were, the heavy years, toting years of the child rearing, what if the shootings were going on?
Where
do you think he would have changed his mind then?
No. The faith comes in times like this where, you know, you're protected and you don't get all bent out of shape, like in fear. See, that's what the media is wanting everybody to be in fear now. Get the gun so they can control us. And then in the meantime, every day we're going to hear the media talking about what went on in Texas. Do we need to be in that mode every day?
Viola.
So it's about faith, building your faith, that you are not going to be affected like that.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up. Do you think that you can pray away this problem? Dad, look how many kids have been shot. I'm not just talking about this week.
listen, I didn't say pray away anything. When did I say prayer is communion? Let me get this straight. We had a conference call last night about prayer. Prayer is communication with your power sources outside of you. Now, we have a power source inside of us. So a lot of it is just meditation, going inside to build up your faith inside. But prayer is communication with angels. Anybody believing in angels? I have signs of angels in my life all the time. Numbers, rainbows, all these things. So prayer is not going to change anything, but your faith is going to be built up for protection and for guidance and for why your assignment, why you're here, confirmation. But prayer is not going to, yes, we all here came here to die, right? Everybody's got an appointed day of death. So are you going to live your life in fear of that day of death? Hell no. You're going to live your life to the fullest and with angels and messengers and the creator's energy of love and all around you. That's what prayer does, is just affirm your protection and your faith in something bigger than all these crazies around here that will keep you alive for a little while. So prayer is just communication. And that's 24/7 for many of us. If you find yourself in a tough situation, somebody kidnaps you or what, what are you going to do? You're going to stand there and stress yourself out? No, most people would go inside and say, help me, Yahweh, or help me, God. They would just, if your mouth was sealed off, your prayer would be, help me. Somebody help me, right? So that's all it is you realize there's a source out there that can help you when you get into trouble. You're on the highway. How many people have been on the highway, they have a flat tire, they're stranded somewhere, and they say, oh, help me, help me, help me, and then some stranger shows up to help you. So that's prayer, okay? So that gets you out of situations sometimes. But, no, I'm telling you.
All right, like you said, the copper word that you said was sometimes. What do you do if you're in school? Matter of fact, let's take this Uvalde thing. What does a third, fourth, or fifth grader do when they hear gunshots going? Now, the fire drills haven't covered that part of it yet. Maybe they should have drills for that.
Well, your parents should have taught you about faith at that point. Your parents, that's where a parent's job is, to help their children navigate the fearful times in their life so that when the children are independent, they know what to do. When they're in school, mommy and daddy aren't there. If you've been trained at home, you know what to do. Otherwise, you're going to be just like the other kids, screaming and worrying and doing what. You might end up dead. That's what seems to have happened.
All right, when I was bullied when I was little, my mother enrolled me into June Reed to take karate classes so I can learn how to defend myself.
Thank you, Mom.
That a practical move.
Yeah.
She didn't tell me to pray about it. And I'm not knocking prayer. I'm not knocking it. I'm just thinking we need more than that.
Of course we do in certain situations, but you use whatever tools you have available. But if you grew up in a family that emphasized prayer, and then you go to Taekwondo, and then you go take gun lessons, you're probably pretty secure. You can take care of yourself in a stressful situation.
Now, Laurie, let me ask you this, okay? We're looking at weapons now. So we're looking at prayer as a weapon. You got your angels and all that. How do you prepare? And you're a grandmother too. How do you prepare your children and or grandchildren? Because these days people don't fist fight. When me and you were coming up, fist fight. Well, a lot of times people just be selling wolf tickets and no swings will be exchanged. But now you got people, and I'm just going back from Columbine, that you got these teenagers that are coming to school with semi-automatic weapons. How do you protect your children other than pulling them out of the school system? How do you protect them when you don't have a weapon but the other people do? Because that's a reality now. This hasn't. What happened yesterday? Whenever it happened with Uvalde, and even in Buffalo, those are not outliers. This stuff is this stuff. Year by year by year by year by year, this stuff adds up. I think it's food for thought.
And every time
how can you prepare your how can you prepare an 8 year old in third grade? How do you protect yourself when there's a gunman in school? I think that's a serious conversation now.
Well, my first choice is prayer. I'm sorry. That's the way I was raised. That's the way I live
and
my
I'm
life.
Not knocking that. And
so
I'm like, I like the way you put that.
You do,
that's
LA,
your first.
LA, what else can you do in that situation? A child is in a school lockdown and everybody's afraid because there's somebody in there with a gun. You can't do anything but pray in that situation. You can't do no taekwondo or karate. That ain't going to help.
No, that's not
going to
work.
You have faith. It's
when
called faith.
Yeah.
That you will be protected. You have angels. I'm teaching my grandchildren. There are angels all around. My grandson actually told me he sees angels now. So I didn't tell him I just kept telling him to have their angels because he was asking grandma how she could live in a place where she doesn't have a lock on her door. And I said, well, I have faith that my angels are going to protect me. And not 10 minutes later, he was saying, I see angels. I see those angels, Grandma. I believe him because he's so unique and so strong-willed and so mature. It's like this is an old soul in a 5-year-old body. And when he said, so that is what I believe he'll fall back on when he's in a trouble, in a challenging situation. He'll call on his angels. And I've done a good job if my grandchildren can do just that. Now, their parents have them in Taekwondo because it's an after-school event that takes care of them while their parents are working. So they
right.
have a little extra emphasis on protection with the martial arts. Good thing. I'm all for it. But when it comes down to, you know, something like a mass shooting like that, faith is the only thing, in my opinion, that's going to help you. They come out of stress and fear because you could have a heart. People could have a heart attack with that type of situation.
All right. Thanks for the feedback. All right, let me open up a mic. I just got a text. FBI reports blacks are killing everybody, including themselves. So
that's
let's
right.
open up a
Don't
mic.
The world.
Oh, now
the
you grew up
world.
In Chicago. How did, before I go
yeah.
to this next caller here, you grew up in Chicago. So you know what? I'm glad I didn't grow up in Chicago because I haven't heard so many horror stories like this. This one dude, God, he died years ago. His name was Ben Wilson, promising basketball player on the high school level. But he didn't make it to college because allegedly he bumped up a step on somebody's tennis shoes. They shot him. So you grew up in Chicago. Was it really that bad crime-wise in Chicago?
I had a great childhood in Chicago because we spent most of our time at the YMCA. Again, my father was an athlete. He was a teacher, professional, lived in near Hyde Park neighborhood, which was University of Chicago. So there were so many things we did as children. Rode our bikes to the lake. We would ride our bikes to the lake all the time with no supervision to come home long before dark and all that. I had a great childhood in Chicago, but I had parents, my father especially, who was very conscious about teaching us how to take care of our bodies, being active in the YMCA camp.
All right,
well,
now what about bullies now? What about because it's you and your two sisters?
I didn't have that experience, not at much at all. I had a few bullies, I have to admit, but I had more good times than bad. And there were gangs in Chicago. There were lots of stories about gangs killing this person or that person. But I think it was the Rangers, Chicago. Oh, Blackstone Rangers. That's what they were called.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, but it was nothing like what we hear now. And certain neighborhoods don't have a lot of violence in Chicago anyway. It's always like the west side of Chicago. And other areas, the High Park rarely had any violence like that. So I had a
well,
great
the last time. The last time I was up there about 3 years ago, where Pleasant Stephens, I was over at his house. It was, man, super quiet neighborhood, clean, nothing like you would hear on the news. So,
but you get on the roads of Chicago, you get on the streets of Chicago, and you can start feeling the stress and the congestion and the negativity. So, yeah, you got to stay in your little peaceful place right now in Chicago.
Okay. Well, oh, now tomorrow, what do you have on tap for Female Solution?
Well, I'm going to go medication, pros and cons, and the power of meditation, and I have some other topics too, because Naomi Judd has been on my radar for a while since her death, and I've learned a lot about her medications, what it did for her and not for her, and how medications react on the body. People need to be really aware of the side effects that they mention and how they affect the body. So that's part of the show tomorrow, Health and Wellbeing with Beata on the Female Solution and the power of meditation. That's what really is going to change this world, is if we all start spending more time in going inside and activating this power within us. We are powerful beings if we activate it. If we're going around, oh, poor me, I'm a victim, I'm entitled to reparations, I'm entitled to this, well, we'll see how far that goes.
Okay. Now, one last question. This goes to our title for today. Mass shootings, are they as American as apple pie?
Because we have a corrupt government, yes. Yes, they are. Well, there is American because as long as this government is in place the way it is, bunch of psychopaths, warmongers, control freaks, yeah, this is American as apple pie. But the people of this country are beautiful people. And that's why I do what I do, to help them have health and well-being, because as long as you get off some of these pharmaceutical medications, you can live a normal, happy life. But when you're on these drugs, and heavy drugs,
mm-hmm.
be confused, suffering, and pain, because these drugs are not meant to heal.
So that's at 8. So you're on at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, Eastern Standard Time. That number is 515-605-9325. Am I correct?
Thank you, yes.
Yeah, I know it by heart. Okay. All right, so that's Beata with her health and wellness. And then Sunday. Health and Wellbeing. And then Sunday, you're on Soul Purpose Healing at what time and number?
8 p.m. I go from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at night, give everybody a time to do their thing on Sunday, and 8 p.m. at night on Sunday.
Okay,
Soul
Eastern
Purpose
Standard
Healing.
Time.
Yeah.
Now, you can also dial that same number, 515-605-9325, or 215. What's the rest of that number?
5-383-5863 for Soul Purpose Healing. But we have two platforms going Sunday night, Female Solution and Soul Purpose Healing.
Okay, I gave the Female Solution number. All right, well, tune in tomorrow. You got her twice a week, so tune in tomorrow. And thanks for that. Now let's roll to the...
Thank you, Ellen.
Okay, thank you. Area code 314, your mic is open. Mass shootings, the question of the day, are they as American as apple pie?
Well, L.A., how many people you think is going to move out? Well, let's take Taft, Oklahoma. That lady has been going around and speaking, trying to encourage blacks to come to Taft. My question is, what are they going to do? If you got someone who's working in any capacity, but let's take a well-paying job in the STEM fields, what are they going to do in town?
Well, that all depends on a person's lifestyle. Now, overall...
No, I said in a well-paying job in STEM field. That means that they spend about 12 hours a day toward that job, 8 hours a day towards sleeping, which is 20. So that's four hours left over.
Well,
they wouldn't do it.
We already know the majority of people are not going to move to any small town like Taft because they are addicted to the comfort and conveniences of a larger community. That's just the way it is.
Well, it hasn't got to be by addiction. It's by necessity. They have to make a living. They got to prepare for retirement.
Well, now, since you did pick out Taft is like 15, 20 minutes away from Muskogee, 45 minutes away from, Tulsa. So there's a lot of towns all across the country like that where, you know, you live in a less expensive area. But then what are they going to do in all this other than some of the things that you just mentioned? That really comes down to lifestyle. You know.
Well, I just told you what the lifestyle is. They're working and preparing to go to work and sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
As far as homeschooling, majority of people can't do that. Me, myself, I'm for choice, where people choose what's best for their long-term educational goals for their children. And there are good public schools that do a good job in educating kids, but the vast majority of them aren't that way.
Well,
schools there.
The educating part is one thing, but Piarchy, what about the, you know, are they prepared to protect the children in case somebody comes in like this Uvalde guy?
Well, in Texas, unfortunately, you got about 175 school districts where teachers are armed. Now, why come this particular school wasn't one of them? I don't know. That has to be something that the people of that town is faced with.
Could you explain more about the armed teachers in Texas? Because I'm not familiar with that, but I used to be in the school system. It makes sense because it looks like a kid won't be able to try you if they know you're armed.
Google it. It's close to 175. It's not over that where teachers are armed, which they should be. If the parents in that district want that, then that's what it should be. You got the cities in Texas, like Gun Barrel City, where it's required for households to have guns. You have them in Georgia.
Usually,
Kennesaw, Georgia, and Nelson,
in
Georgia.
Gun-free zone.
What you say?
There's
here?
No such thing as gun-free zones are illegal because if a house in a gun-free zone. You can't deny that homeowner the right to have guns. That's unconstitutional.
Well, these mass shootings take place, from what I know, in mass gun-free zones. Why? Because that's the way they plan it.
Well, gun-free zones, that's been thrown out. How in the heck you going to build a school across from where I'm living and tell me I can't have a gun in my house? That's a bunch of bull crap. So that's... Now, drug-free zones, yeah, you can, you know, they exist, but gun-free zones are illegal. But
well,
teachers should have guns.
Look into it. Where do these mass shootings take place? From what I've read and studied, they take place in areas where people can't have guns, too many guns, because they don't want interference in their plan. I'm telling you, this is a rabbit hole event. Again, what they call false flag. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, we ought to look. Listen, how are you going to have a gun-free zone? The Constitution guarantees people the right. Then you just reading something that's misleading.
Well, hold it. Now, Piarchy,
think about it.
Let me ask you this. You know about guns. In some places I know right here in Florida, and it might be in all states, like, you're not allowed to hunt. All right.
But you're not
allowed to
hunt in a residential neighborhood. You can hunt any time of year on your own property in many states. I don't know all of them. I know in Missouri, if you see a deer on your property any time of the year, you can kill them. Kill them and eat them.
Well, that
in Missouri,
requires a gun.
You don't need no license to conceal carry. license, making people have license to open carry is just totally out, is against the Constitution. Isn't it wonderful that we have a U.S. Constitution that the damn Democrats and liberals are always trying to tear down?
Okay, so I just Googled where do shootings in gun-free zones. 98% of mass public shootings happen in gun-free zones. They locked down, 98 occurred in gun between 1950 and 2016. Gun control average. What percentage of that 98% wake up tragic, gun-free zones have become hot-button issues? So it is a truth, there's an ounce of truth to this. You just have to read. Gun-free zones are intended to reduce violent crime, suicides, unintentional firearm injuries and deaths, and mass shootings in specific locations. In theory, the gun-free zone reduces or eliminates the presence of guns in these areas, thereby eliminating the risk of unintentional firearm injuries due to recklessness. So here's the fact that 98% of these mass shootings take place in gun-free zones. So there, just go down the rabbit hole a little deeper, and we find that these shooters had military, some of them had military backgrounds, some of them were on pharmaceutical medications, MK Ultra, Mind Control Ultra was involved. Go to do the history of these mass shootings, and it's all nefarious activities going on that somebody was probably mind controlled and put in a place to do this so they can once again try and create gun legislation to take away our guns. That's what's happening 98% of the time.
It seems like this case in Uvalde, shooter, and I'm not into guns at all, but if I was living in that community, it seems like I would probably try to go buy one after that.
Well, to teach... Check out how many school districts in Texas have teachers allowed to carry guns and see if that one was one. One of the most things that a person that's hell-bent on hurting somebody with guns, they don't want to be shot back at.
Yeah.
In Buffalo.
Right. Due to the fact that he went to an elementary school.
In Buffalo, in the state of New York, with some of the strictest anti-gun laws there are, the citizens in that store was armed, and especially if they was open carry, if they had that holster on their hip. How many idiots were coming there talking about having a shooting up folks and not expect to get shot back at? That's the biggest deterrent to idiots like the person that shot up those in Buffalo and any place else.
And they say no, they're further on this topic, they say no school in this country has ever had a mass shooting where there were armed teachers and staff. And the left calling for gun control has contributed to this mass shooting that we saw in Texas. 81% of police agree that teachers and staff should be armed. So killers choose gun-free zones 94% of the time. And I would say not just the killer, but the evil minds behind these false flags are choosing gun-free zones because they know not a lot of resistance going to happen when they
well, hold
up,
it now.
Follow,
like you think the guys with the Columbine, you think the Columbine, those two teenage kids who killed themselves, you think they researched the law or they just had a plan and this is what we're going
to
do?
They
didn't look at the politics of it.
You have to look at MK Ultra, L.A. These are mind control procedures. You know the movie, there are movies about this. They make movies telling us the truth. We just don't pay attention. They've been mind controlling people for years. I've personally met people who were mind controlled by military. Where
so you're
taking
saying
the
possibility
the
of the two guys from Columbine, possibly Dylan Roof, the white dude that went into the church in, South Carolina, Sandy Hook.
Well, what about the black dude that went to the church in Tennessee?
Well, and you brought that up yesterday.
Yeah,
the black
you're
guy.
Showing your bias again. You've been influenced by YouTube. What is it? About it? UK Ultra?
And the black
you got
guy.
That, you
Samson
got that bias toward white folks.
Samson, the black guy who went into the white church. So, Biotta, you're saying possibly that these people were mind controlled?
What does this say? 94%. Do you understand that 6% may not be the same case? So there are those percentage that people are not being influenced by MK Ultra or other gun control. No guns. Let's do this area. No guns here. Let's try that area. And no guns. They set this up. Where have you all been the last 2 years? The evil has been revealed to us for the last 2 years. Where everybody's sitting watching Netflix, gun violence on Netflix, and not paying attention to the sick government that we live under? This is a sick government.
I think black folks is cursed. Ain't nothing else to it.
Well, not
blacks
all black folks, but yes, some of them are. As Mama AZ would often say, everybody on this planet doesn't have a soul. We got some aliens on this planet, and if you haven't met one,
that's
why.
Black folks are cursed from what their ancestors done back on that African continent. The sins of the father follow the son.
Well, not every black person today was a black person in another life, though. So if we're looking at all black people are cursed, no. But some of them are because of what their connection to ancestors in the past. So, yeah, if you're a black person today, you might be experiencing
now,
that karma.
No, it ain't all black because all blacks, you had over 3,000 blacks all along South Shore Drive there in Chicago to up and leave. So apparently they ain't cursed. It's the ones that's still there.
Right. So not
that's causing all these problems. Not the ones that's still there that's trapped, but the ones that's there probably causing all these problems. Not only there, but in other cities too.
And you know, the interesting thing, you got this article said 40 people have been shot and killed in Chicago this month. So where is all the excitement, the uproar about
people.
That?
40
that's what
people?
This article is. This 40 people.
They have that much in a weekend in Chicago.
And more than 40 people have been shot and killed in Chicago. Well, when I was there, 9 people in one day. So that sounds reasonable. We have 40 in one month.
They don't have over 4,400 since Memorial Day last year. And my count would end Memorial Day this year, this month.
But where's the uproar about gun control in Chicago when this event killed, 9 people? But where's the gun control in Chicago? You know, this is all political.
It's not the guns. Once again, it's not the guns. It's the people.
Exactly.
Them Negroes would be chunking spears at each other if they didn't have guns. I mean, it's just the people.
Well, that's what we know, but the political scene is like, oh, no, we got to have more gun control. And this guy is saying, no, you're not thinking clearly. It's not the guns. It's the people and the politics. It's the politics behind it as well. Because a lot of senators.
I think your black politicians want blacks to be wiped out. I really do. Your Danny Davis there in Chicago. Heck, he said that there's room for everybody when questioned about the illegals coming across the southern border.
And there's another Black Panther guy here in Chicago. He's running for office again. I forget his name. But, there's a lot of black politicians. They got money. They're getting their
You got their more black You got more blacks in politics in Illinois probably than any other state. And you got the lieutenant governor, she's black. You got the attorney general for Illinois, he's black.
Yeah, Bobby Rush, he's
just the secretary of state. He was black. He quit. You know, retired.
Yeah,
prosecutors are black.
Bobby Rush is one of the most crooked congressmen in the state, in the country, and he's running. I think he's running again. I saw signs for him running again. But he's being paid off. big time. The moves that he's making and the decisions he comes up with shows somebody's
stuff. He's going to run blacks out of Chicago, I think. Maybe not. They already don't told them that.
Who's running
you listen to Mary Till. Listen to Mary Till when she talks about that on Saturdays.
Who's running people out of Chicago again?
The Hispanics. There is quite a few of them up there.
Hispanics are saying that we want two more or three more council seats because we got the population. They're telling blacks you got to go.
Yeah. Yeah, they're taking over a lot of neighborhoods. Definitely. And everywhere you go, people speak in Spanish or some other language. So, yes, multicultural presence in Chicago. But,
so,
I don't know.
Living in Chicago is expensive.
Well, it is what it is. As far as living, like you was talking about, living out in those remote areas is really cool. Quiet, fresh air.
However, most people are not going to do that, though.
You don't want most people. That's why you move out there where it ain't no people.
Well, that's true. That's true. You don't want most people. I think a lot of people that need to move out there, but a lot of people that need to move out there, that's not even on their radar to even move someplace like that.
If you read that FBI report that we gave, you got black folks killing whites at a rate of 30%. 30% of the whites that's being killed is being killed by somebody black. 80-some-odd% or more of blacks that's being killed are by somebody who's black. Something wrong with these folks. And, you know, here's the thing. Nobody's going to stop them because if you want population control, if you want ethnic cleansing, what better way than to let them kill up themselves? Police use the George Floyd and Mike Brown method. They take their time when answering calls, which in one way is strategically good because you can't argue with a dead person. If you got two dead people fighting, one of them's going to kill the other, and when you get there, you got half the trouble to deal with.
So the solution, in my opinion, is to take individual responsibility to change our energy that we put out from hatred to love to not tolerance, but to discipline and just change whatever energy you're putting out on your own. It's individual responsibility. We can't expect groups to do anything. We can't change the government to stop doing what they're doing. But individually, if we take responsibility, stop being victims and be victors, we have overcome a lot. So let's just take responsibility, change your energy that you're putting out from hatred and resentment and anger and bitterness to forgiveness, compassion, love, and strength and empowerment. Stop complying with the government's crazy controlled rules. We don't need any more vaccines. We need people to build up their strong bodies. We have strong temples.
Well, you know one of the problems there is that people see states should tell the federal government to go to hell.
And Florida is doing that, thank goodness.
Absolutely. See, people don't understand, especially blacks. Blacks look to a president and don't look to their city council or their congressional person. But federal government gets its power. Federal government gets its powers from the states. That's where their powers come from. And presently, the states have allowed the federal government to run completely buck wild. What they need to do, I would say, is tell the federal government to go to hell. Federal government don't have no policing powers. People say, well, they can withhold your funds. Well, they're able to withhold funds because you are paying them taxes. Don't give them taxes. The hell with them. What can they do? They can't do a damn thing. You remember during the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit? He had state say, yeah, we ain't doing that. Well, we ain't going to give you your revenue derived off of gasoline taxes. Well, them states should stop giving the federal government, because they don't want to collect it. They should stop giving the federal government gasoline taxes revenue. If the states had said that in those states that's affected by the pipeline, then they would still have those jobs going on. The states where the federal government have said, put regulations and restriction on drilling and exploration, they should tell them to go to hell. We're going to drill and we're going to explore and drill. And furthermore, like Alaska, we will share revenue through royalties with the citizens of the state.
Well, you know,
the
states that have democratic rule are the worst because they're so greedy for power. And so I agree with you that these states need to stand up like DeSantis and get rid of federal influence. And that's every day this governor is doing something different to make us more independent from the federal government. So that's what every governor should be doing. I agree.
Those 50 states are, in essence, 50 different countries. They're sovereign. They got their own constitution and other things that go along with a sovereign country. They got their own National Guard. Or should I say state militia? There's a difference between a National Guard and a state militia. And that's what they that's what it's going to happen to. If you want to live in a state that permit abortion up to the day before the baby is scheduled to be born, well, live in that state.
And you're going to have consequences when they're allowing that type of activity, because that so goes against the divine authority of our bodies and our choices to love and protect and raise healthy children. So people who are accepting those type of laws are going to have, there's going to be consequences.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
These women are walking around with ghost houses on between their legs. Those are haunted houses between their legs. You don't abort it four or five babies. Those are haunted houses between your legs.
So individual responsibility to me is the solution. People start meditating and think about what can you change in your life that will help your community first, and then maybe your city and the country. But you got to work with yourself and community. Self and community, that's where we ought to all be focusing.
Well,
you should
work to have strong families. That's very important. Get back to families as they supposed to be. You want to instill strict respect for authority in your children all through their childhood life, and they would carry that into their adult life. Today, children don't have respect for the authority, and the authority at home really don't have respect for itself. This stuff about having raising a kids, especially males, without a father that is a man, not a male, but a man, it's caused a whole bunch of problems. Hell, that don't even go on in the animal world. Kids aren't being educated. That's a national security issue there. You got to have an educated populace. The kids are not being, your children aren't being educated for the possible jobs that go weaning for employment. So now you got to import. You got to import specialists. You got to import engineers. Blacks, 13% of the population, don't even have those percentages in main professions. You know they don't have it in the medical, the engineer, the scientist, chemists and other professions.
True. Well, I'm going to wrap it up for today. It's 12:48 before it's 1, and I got to get me some vittles. So thank you both. Thank you, listeners. Everyone have a good, safe rest of the day.